Thank you for gathering. My name is Damian Williams, and I'm the United States Attorney here in the Southern District of New York. Today, we are announcing campaign finance, bribery, and conspiracy charges against Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City. As the indictment alleges, Mayor Adams engaged in a long-running conspiracy in which he solicited and knowingly accepted illegal campaign contributions from foreign donors and corporations. As we allege, Mayor Adams took these contributions even though he knew they were illegal. And even though he knew these contributions were attempts by a Turkish government official and Turkish businessmen to buy influence with him. We also allege that the mayor sought and accepted well over $100,000 in luxury travel benefits from some of the same foreign actors who arranged many of the illegal campaign contributions. These benefits included free international business class flights and opulent hotel rooms in foreign cities. The mayor had a duty to disclose these gifts on his annual public disclosure forms so that the public could see who was giving him what. But as we allege, year after year after year, he kept the public in the dark. He told the public he received no gifts, even though he was secretly being showered with them. We allege that Adams accepted these benefits knowing that they were given to him because of his position. And in exchange for some of those improper benefits, he intervened in the New York City Fire Department's inspection process for a building owned and operated by the Turkish government, allowing it to open even though it had not passed the fire inspection.
So this is some of the latest with Eric Adams, who's being charged with all kinds of what I guess they're trying to say. He's been under the influence of Turkey this entire time. So he's getting all of these different charges against him. And that's just some of the latest with it. Welcome to the radio program. It's Thursday, Dana Lash with you. And we were following this story. I think there's a lot of discussion that it's because a lot of the things that Eric Adams had said about illegal immigration, etc., and that it's the illegal immigration aspect of it that that's why, like right after he said it, then that's why he started. That's why they started investigating him, because it's been like 10 months that they've been investigating him at this point, I think. So and we're going to follow up with all of this stuff. He just had a press conference where he was getting heckled at some of it. It was a really wild press conference. And the feds are laying out all the charges now. They were saying that he was taking bribes and that he wasn't disclosing. Well, it was basically it constituted bribes, and that he he's taking bribes, and he was basically in the pocket of Turkey this whole time. So welcome to the program. We got a radio show to do. Other people apparently in this orbit need to be notified of that. You can find us over at Substack as well. We got a lot of stuff to hit, including the disastrous remarks from Kamala Harris, where she made a speech, and I talked about some of it last night on Fox, and it was fairly ridiculous, the speech that she gave. And so this I feel like Democrats are kind of falling apart when they're not attacking themselves, really. When they're not attacking themselves, they're entirely falling apart. So this is just some of the latest that we have, and we're going to be, you know, sorry, we're bringing it to you as we get it. But those charges that came out, I don't know if I think that it's related to his remarks on immigration. I don't know if that's like a conspiracy theory or not. I mean, he said some pretty crazy stuff before, so I don't believe that he's like some sort of hero of the right or even really an ally of the right. But, you know, I mean, he took bribes, apparently. I mean, a lot of it was like upgrades on flights and free stays when he would travel. And apparently he like always traveled through Turkey, etc., things of that nature. I wanted to play some audio for you of Kamala Harris's her disastrous remarks that she gave, because she's campaigning and she was trying. She did this sit down interview with Stephanie Ruhle, who was in a weird outfit. It's like, don't dress like Wednesday Adams in red pumps, like when you're trying to do a serious sit down. That's fashion wear. That's not anchor wear. But she did this weird sit down interview with Kamala Harris, and they were in, I don't know what the setting was. It was like they were in a Home Depot, in the back room of a Home Depot. But audio soundbite 3 is some of her remarks. She spoke, this was at her fundraiser. So we have she did two different things. She had the interview with MSNBC, and then she also gave a campaign speech. This is part of her campaign speech. And I just, like I said last night, I don't speak drunk Hallmark.
We need to guard that spirit. We have to guard that spirit. Let it always inspire us. Let it always be the source of our optimism, which is that spirit that is so uniquely American. And let that then inspire us by helping us to be inspired to solve the problems that so many face, including our small business owners.
Yeah.
Do we have the transcripts?
Yeah, apparently. Whatever that is, whatever that was, whatever her remarks were there. This is supposed to be about the economy. I don't understand what she's talking about when she says guard the spirit. What the hell does that mean? What does it mean to guard one's spirit? What is that? She talking about the spirit of American entrepreneurship? Because I don't think that she understands it, if that's what she's talking about. You know, she doesn't understand it. Is it the spirit of American guardianship? I don't know. I don't know what that meant. I really don't. I mean, she has no answer. No answer to anything. Audio soundbite two. This is just when she keeps discussing the failed, and we're going to talk more about this, but I just got to get these soundbites out of my system. Audio soundbite two.
We just need to move past the failed policies that we have proven don't work.
I don't even know what that means. She's part of the policy. Someone tell her that she's in the White House. I mean, she's in, right? She's still vice president. I didn't fall down the steps this morning and like hit my head hard and, you know, now I don't understand what's happening in the world, correct? Correct?
Correct.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know what this means. We need to move past the failed policies that so was she indicting herself in this? I'm very confused. I don't know. Is she indicting herself in this? I'm not quite sure. I just know that this is the kind of stuff that does not resonate. When you're talking to people about the economy, you better know what the hell you're talking about. Because you're talking to people who they're struggling right now. I heard there was a soundbite that was played yesterday somewhere. Not here, but I had heard it where it was one of her surrogates saying that people are misremembering the Trump economy. And that I heard that and it made me so angry. When her surrogates are insisting that we are that people are misremembering the Trump economy.
I have that audio.
Can you play that real quick? Because this right here, when you combine, this is the messaging that they're putting out, that you all are stupid and that you can't remember anything, that you're stupid, you're misremembering your own bank account. And also, you know, we got to guard the spirit. That's what you're getting from this administration. Listen to this. So this is one of her official campaign spokespeople. Listen.
Part of it is that Americans, when you ask the question, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Many Americans misremember just how bad the economy was 4 years ago.
What?
Just misremembering?
What does that mean? Misremembering.
Is that called forgetting?
Yeah. I mean, that's I would imagine that it's called that. It's called forgetting. Misremembering? We're not misremembering anything. People are broke as hell. They're broke. They can't afford anything, and they can't afford anything because of this god-awful administration. People are stressed to the max because this administration is driving everyone into an early grave because they're stressing everybody out with the economy. They're stressing people out with the possibility of taxes. And then we have this, you know, pick me girl who is the vice president of the United States. I've never seen anyone so damn lazy who works so little in their life that got handouts to get to where she is, because it's exactly what it is. She gave every time she sits here and says that she's from the middle class, that angers me. You're not from the middle class. Do you guys know that before she started her illustrious story about being bust, that she went to a ridiculously expensive primary school that's like $25,000 a term? She had two PhD parents that work in Ivy League universities. They lived in one of the wealthiest areas in Berkeley, California. And she's going to sit here and try to act like she's one of you, that she's middle class. She's worked in the public sector since she was an adult. She's never worked in the private sector ever. She's always been on the government teat. Always. These are people who have no idea what it means to build anything. These are people who have no idea the stresses of small business and making payroll and hiring and being the first to arrive and the last to leave. And they don't understand any of this. And that's why she sounds like a damn drunk Hallmark card whenever she talks about the economy. She doesn't understand what payroll taxes are. I don't believe she does. I don't even think she could define capital gains if her life depended on it. She doesn't understand basic anything related to business or basic economic principles. She doesn't understand it. She has the mentality of a barely educated college freshman who's a Marxist and has yet to take an econ class, because everything she talks about relating to the economy reflects that. Everything that she has proposed so far, when, you know, I mean, mostly it's vagaries, but everything that she has proposed thus far has been, I mean, when you follow it to its logical conclusion, it is the utter destruction of the American economy. She was going off on tariffs. She was going off on, and look, tariffs, that's a little bit of a nuanced area. She couldn't even define a tariff if her life depended upon it. It angers me. It pisses me off as a woman. Do you know why? Because women, I don't mind if you have a Margaret Thatcher type president, but you're going to get a horrible woman in that office. And then women are never going to be able to get that office again, at least in my lifetime, because we're going to have blown our shot because we have someone who's a barely literate, who's gotten to where she is because she checks boxes, because she is a political identity. That's why. Don't act like it's everything I'm saying is offensive, because it's true. And the reason people are offended, because it's true. And they have to admit, wow, we only want this person because of completely shallow cosmetic things that they were born with and couldn't change. Has nothing to do with merit. Nothing. Our partners that help bring you free radio, it's the folks over at Tax Network USA. They work with you to deal with the government theft agency. I mean, the IRS, right? The IRS. That's right. Tax Network USA is here to help if you're facing them, because you don't want to face them alone. You can schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. They have a proven success record of saving clients over $1 billion in back taxes. So it doesn't matter if you owe $10,000 or $10 million. It doesn't matter if it's for personal or business. Whatever it is, Tax Network USA has the tools and experience to handle any situation. They have skilled professionals. They will get you the most favorable outcome, whether or not you're able to pay or on a fixed income. Tax Network USA provides tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. Do not let the IRS control your life. Empower yourself with Tax Network USA support and take charge of your financial future. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana and work with a company I trust. They'll help you resolve your burdens once and for all. tnusa.com/Dana.
Would taxing the rich actually solve our problems? All of America's 550 billionaires have a combined net worth of $2.5 trillion. Even if we tax them at 100%, we'd have enough money to fund the government for 8 months.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the courts block Ken Paxton's appeal. They're going to have a gun ban at the State Fair of Texas, which is in one of the most peaceful and least crime affected areas in all of the United States of America, particularly Texas. There's no crime at all whatsoever that ever happens in Arlington, Texas. There's never been any crime that's ever happened at the State Fair of Texas. And I'm sure that they have more than enough resources to keep everyone safe from the gangbangers and the drug dealers that don't exist and are prevalent in the area when people go and are disarmed. So go and eat your giant meat on a stick. Don't get shot.
Everything you said was false.
Maybe. Is it? Is it fake news or is it not? Nobody knows, do they? Yeah, the State Court of Appeals. So he's taking it all the way up. Go Paxton. Also, Colorado tops the United States in cocaine use again. And honestly, if I had to live next to some of the dirty hippies that are now like all throughout Colorado with their pot shops, I'd probably have to use cocaine too. Marks the second time in 3 years that Colorado tops the country in admitted cocaine use. People are just like, yeah, we're on cocaine. So, and it makes sense, the Venezuelan gangs and everything in there. Yeah. Six people are hurt in an explosion from an intentionally set IED, as opposed to an accidentally set IED, at a Santa Monica courthouse in California. You know, you don't accidentally set your IEDs. The man, and this is just the headline over at ABC News, a story that was probably headlined by the editor, but it took three people to write 500 words. The explosion was around 8:48 a.m. Wednesday at the Santa Maria Courthouse in Santa Barbara. And it was a small, I mean, they said it, it was an explosion. That's why they got such crazy security at courthouses. Let's see. China test fires an intercontinental ballistic missile into the Pacific Ocean. I'm sure they meant for it to go into the atmosphere, but it probably just straight the hell up, just shot into the water because it's China. Also, Nancy Pelosi's husband, in what I'm sure is just a total coincidence, sold more than $500,000 worth of Visa stock just weeks before the Department of Justice's antitrust lawsuit. You know, it's just he's got very good instincts, and I'm sure he doesn't trade on his wife's insider knowledge at all whatsoever. You know, the guy who was assaulted in his underwear by another guy who, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, was it his boyfriend? I don't know, but he was a BLM Marxist progressive. Antitrust cops also allege that Visa was forcing financial tech firms to work with it by threatening to penalize people who don't, like Democrats. AOC says that Eric Adams should resign as New York City mayor for the good of the city amid federal probes. You know who they want to get in, don't you? And we're going to talk about this. Andrew Cuomo is looking at his comeback. So who do you want as mayor of New York City? A guy that maybe, is it considered a bribe or was it treatment? I don't know. Do I care? Maybe, maybe not. But would you rather have that guy in office that took some money from Turkey or the guy who killed all your grandparents with his policies? I mean, literally killed them. He took his policies, fashioned them into a stake and stabbed your grandparents in the chest like they were Nosferatus. So I don't know. Like, who do you want in office? Andrew Cuomo, or do you want Eric Adams, the guy who helped create all of the problems that New York is dealing with now, or Eric Adams, who seems like a less annoying of a Marxist, not maybe all the way a Marxist, willing to say some stuff about illegal immigration? Did he take money from Turkey? Nah. The only difference with Eric Adams and all the other New York Democrats is Eric Adams was dumb enough to get caught. That's literally the only thing, because all these cats have taken this kind of, they've taken upgrades, they've taken free trips, they've taken hotel stays, literally every single one of them. He just got caught. That's the reality of it. We're going to talk about that coming up, and we're also going to get into Kamala Harris and the holistic housing market. Stay with us. So folks over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there, Patriot Mobile wants to save you money, whether you're a business, a family, families of all sizes, businesses of all sizes, they've got something for you. And with Patriot Mobile, you can get a free month of service when you sign up today. They also offer you the absolute best coverage. They have nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service, but your money is not going towards DEI and abortion on demand funded by the taxpayer, advocacy or gun control or any of that. They don't fund any of that stuff. They put momentum behind things like parents taking over their school boards from freaks. That's what they do. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. You can get free activation using code Dana. 100% based, U.S.-based customer service team, too. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Get that free month when you use offer code Dana. That's 972-PATRIOT. Get your free month of service today. Code Dana for free activation, too.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Did you guys, what's your favorite, Cam, what's your favorite book of the Bible?
Favorite book of the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's a tough one because I do like Psalms. You go back to that one a lot for
Peace
like
Psalms.
Some, yeah, Psalms. So I think it'd be Psalms. There's a lot of books there and a lot of things to pull from.
Mm. I'm partial to Ephesians. Yeah. But what about those Ecclesiastics, huh? You know, the book about the Ecclesiastic people. Oh, wait a minute. That's just, apparently that's what Kamala Harris, she thinks that's Old Testament scripture. I'm not kidding. Audio soundbite one.
You know, there's a time for patience and there's a time for impatience. That's not in Ecclesiastics, but just went off script for a minute, Mayor.
The Ecclesiastics, you know, remember when they got, I feel like I say this a lot. Do you remember when they got mad at Trump for, what did he say, 2 Corinthians?
Yeah.
Is that what he said? Yeah. It's not one, but 2 Corinthians. Something like that, right? Or 2 Timothy, instead he said 2 Timothy. I think it was 2 Timothy. Was it, was it that? It was one of them. I don't remember. It was one of them. Oh, my gosh. And the left was, can you believe Trump doesn't know this biblical book? He doesn't know this book of the Bible. Can you believe it? And they just lost their minds. Well, what about the ecclesiastic people? I mean, that's... It's goofy, right? And it just goes to show you that she, yeah, it's, you know, the ecclesiastics. That actually sounds like a great theological punk band name. Where they take, it's like they take the Book of Psalms and they turn it into punk songs. And their first album is called Punk Psalms. Oh, we're just writing it right here on air. That'd be great.
The last letter is an X.
That's right.
It can't be a CS.
That's right. Yeah. Ecclesiastics. Right. That's right. Oh, my gosh. That actually would be... How is that not a punk band?
Right.
That actually would be really great. I can see them opening up. I can see them playing like the Vatican, you know? You like go out there in St. Peter. We're the Ecclesiastics. I can see it, man. I would totally go to that show. Wouldn't you go to that show? It's just all Psalms, punk style. That actually, I want to do it. I mean, I know enough power chords, and I can play rhythm guitar poorly enough that I could be a punk. I could be a punk guitarist. Right. I can do it.
And the next book in the Bible, Song of Solomon, right? So
that's the second album.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah,
follow up.
And then, in the style of Paranoid Android, just have a character, just have a song called Solomon. It's Ecclesiastics. Sounds great, doesn't it? That's a great idea. I can't believe no one's done that yet. So she didn't come up with that idea, but anyway.
It's like that band Pentatonix, or what was the...
Pentatonix. I liked them for like 5 seconds, and then I was like, okay, I'm done with it. I can only take so much, you know? Like, there's certain types of music that for 5 seconds, I'm like, this is the greatest, and then it's too much.
I revisit during the holidays.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's usually in playlists and it pops up.
I don't like it.
Here and there.
I mean, I don't dislike it. It's not my jam. I like the old crooners.
Yeah, it's not my jam, but I'll run across it during the holidays.
When I was a little kid, I have no idea how we got on this subject. When I was a little kid, my mom would, her and my stepdad would have, he had a record player. He was one of those people. Is a vinyl person. And he would play all kinds of like old Christmas music on these albums, these vinyl albums. And that's how you decorate the tree and all that stuff. And so now I have to have that music around Christmas. You know what I mean?
Ecclesiastics.
Yeah, the Ecclesiastics. Can you imagine the Ecclesiastics Christmas punk? That's amazing. Like Away in a Manger, but punk style. That's so cool. Like a really fast drum. Oh my gosh. Like I'm already like imagining it in my head. And you wouldn't have to pay royalties because it's kind of like considered American standard, right? Dude, for reals. I can't believe that hasn't been done. Trademark, copyright.
I'm going to work on that right now.
I'm saying I've got guitars. I mean, I can play, you know, I can make it at least one part of it happen. I could play drums poorly enough where I could put those tracks down. Can't play bass to save my life unless it's like, you know, three chords. That's about it. But there you go. Where are we going? That's okay. You guys would buy that album. I feel like you would. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh. And you could, I need to stop because I'm like going on and on and on. All right. So I want to bring the tugboat back to shore here briefly because Georgia, a new survey came out. It's not looking so hot for the Harris. It's not. It's a CBS YouGov poll. You know CBS, which is, the C stands for conservative. You guys remember that, right? The C stands for conservative. So a CBS YouGov poll shows, now it's within a margin of error. But I will note something. This was 1,441 registered voters. And it has Trump 51 to Harris's 49. Now, margin of error on this was 3.5. But still, why do I cite this? Because the last survey, if you will give me a moment, that I saw had them tied, like literally, except it was like 0.5. So this survey, and indicates, and the last one was likely voters and not registered voters. And that was, I want to say that that survey was like a Rasmussen. I think maybe. No, it wasn't a Rasmussen. That last one was a, I think it was a Trafalgar group. So anyway, long story short, I feel like, you know, this one shows like, you know, a 2-point bit of growth. But it's not, Georgia's not certain. And Trump needs to really focus. I think didn't he just do an event in Georgia? He needs to focus on Georgia. He needs to, and stick to the hits, stick to the issues that voters care about. But Harris is freaking out because what's one of the things that we've talked about ever since she picked Walz as her second banana? They completely just glossed over Josh Shapiro and almost made it seem like they weren't making a play for Pennsylvania and Pennsylvania's electoral votes. Almost like they thought, well, we're just going to go straight for Georgia. Maybe we'll get Pennsylvania. Maybe we won't. But it was really clear that their play was to go for Georgia over Pennsylvania. So it's kind of interesting. And now, like, looking at this, how this is, it's not working out for them. That it doesn't look like their plays worked thus far. And probably, because I mean, her messaging is really bad. Yeah, when they were tied, the last survey was on September 14th when it came out. And that showed them really at like 48-48. But he was like 48.5 and she was 48. So, you know, they were right there. And now it looks like he's kind of pulling away from her. It's not enough to be a trend yet, but it's enough to keep an eye on, I think. But that's not a good poll for Harris. Not at all. Not a good poll for her. Marist has a survey out for Arizona. Trump is +1 again, still within the margin of error. The margin of error is 3.8 points on this. So he's only +1. So they're tied. They're tied. It was Harris the last survey that they measured amongst independents was Harris 51, Trump 47. And those are only likely voters for independents. And Biden carried independents by +9 in that state 4 years ago. So these are kind of already, you know, left-leaning independents. Now they're still leaning towards Harris, but less so. But these are likely voters, not registered voters. So 50 to 49 with this latest Marist poll from Arizona. And I was looking at the crosstabs for this one. And like I said, 3.8 margin of error. I mean, this is not a huge lead for him with this survey. But it looks like they're tied. And they looked at 1,264 people that they surveyed. And they conducted that through September 19th and 24th. And they also used text and landline for this, too. So they've got 11 electoral votes for Arizona. And very interesting, how the independents, they are not as supportive of Harris as they were Biden, which they have the same policies. I mean, she's literally the same person, just a woman now. So this is the same person. It's the same. I mean, this is why you have to vote for the set of policies that they're looking to advance and not the person or personality, if that's like an issue for people. But man alive, it's close. I wanted to hit Coca-Cola. Do you guys hear about Coca-Cola? Do you hear about this? I don't drink Coca-Cola because I am a Pepsi drinker. So apparently there was a dude on Facebook who was at a machine in a Coca-Cola store where you can personalize you can write your name on the Coke can or write something on the Coke can and it personalizes it in the machine, which is actually kind of neat. And he was able to write Allah and Buddha and Satan, but he couldn't write Jesus. And when he tried to write Jesus, it said, "Sadly, we cannot automatically allow this text on the can. If you feel it's a mistake, please speak to a state rep." Now, and then there were other people saying that you can write, you know, other political names, but you couldn't write where your Trump, Kane's grinning, like you couldn't write Trump or do something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, Jesus and all that. See, here's my problem with it, is that there are, I have friends named Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus is an actual name.
Yeah. Like, why, they can't even get that on the, everyone
like
else can.
I feel like that's anti-immigrant.
It definitely is anti-immigrant.
It's jingoistic.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing light to
that. You're welcome. It's in whatever other ingoistics isms that they want to add to it to not allow Jesus to be on it. Apparently, though, too, you can't write like Trump 24 on it. Yeah, I don't know. They said that they banned any monikers that are trademarked political in nature, names of countries, celebrities, religious figures, as well as anything that could be considered offensive for other reasons. And now it's stupid. See, now it's, they tried to be so PC that it's dumb now. You can't write, but I think you could, it allows Elon Musk's name, and it allows, I think, a couple of other names. I think it allowed Harris, but it didn't allow Trump. So some people are saying that it's woke. Is it? It might be. Can I be real? Do I care? I don't think so.
If woke equals fascist, then yes, that would be correct.
I just think that some people, I don't even know why some people continue to choose life for themselves. If you're so miserable that you're offended by a name on a Coke can, how are you alive? Like, how are you living and you're just not offended to, like, actually into the grave? How? Right? How are you here? I don't get those people. They're offended by everything. Everything. How in the hell are you alive? I'm so offended. They're the people who are mad over butter and pancake syrup and names on soda. What? We can't have Trump on a can of soda. That's bad. What is your damage? What is wrong with these people? Do you know, I'm not political all the time. I do turn it off. I happen to believe certain things and I am a certain way and it's just how I am. But I don't always talk about politics and I don't always, you know, look for political fights and everything. And one of the things that makes me so mad is that when I try to walk away from it, somebody out there, a meat space, a leftist, is always trying to like make it a reality, make it a real thing, you know? Like, we got a story coming up where this kid got in trouble at his school because he made a gun out of soda cans. But no, he didn't like actually fashion a fire, like a gun that can be fired from soda cans. He laid out, literally laid out what I'm assuming are full cans of Dr. Pepper on a bed in the shape of a rifle, meaning that it looked like a lowercase K. That's it. And he posted it on TikTok. And he's 13 years old. He does what 13-year-olds do. Posted on TikTok. And someone at his school got offended. And they suspended this kid. Not only did they suspend him, but he's got two marks on his permanent record. One is for cyberbullying. And I can't, and he got a, like, someone was offended by a picture that they saw. And so that amounts to cyberbullying somehow. And that's a permanent mark on his record. So that's one of the marks he got. And the other one was making a school threat, even though he never made any threats. That's the thing. He never made any threats to anybody, to any school, to any person, nothing. No bullying took place. We're going to talk about this coming up. It's wild. Our partners over at Byrna-Gun, BYRNA. If you, it's always good to have options for self-defense, especially if you live in areas where they try to restrict where you can carry, what you can carry. I always advocate for people to carry, and I have zero problem myself in using lethal force to protect myself or protect my loved ones. If you're in a city like a friend of mine in D.C. who can't carry everywhere she needs to go, and you want to be able to defend yourself, but your options are limited, you should check out the Byrna-Gun, because the Byrna-Gun is going to give you that alternative option of self-defense. And the Byrna-Gun, the cool thing is that you don't have to go through a background check and you don't have a waiting period, and they will literally send it right to your door. It's legal in all 50 states. The model, the most popular model in the Byrna-Gun, by the way, shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. It has a 5-round capacity. When you compare it to stun guns, they only have a couple of shots. Byrna has 5. You can go and look at all the different models that they have. The Byrna SD, like I said, is their most popular one. They have different projectiles, accessories, and more. To learn more about the Byrna-Gun, visit Byrna.com/Dana. That's BYRNA. Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase today.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
What's the first word that pops into your head? when you hear the name Kamala Harris?
Liar.
That kid is on the accelerated track, clearly. That kid. That's, who is that? Is it CNN or MSNBC? Yeah. See, we're asking kids. A liar. He didn't even, man, that kid didn't even take a beat. He knew immediately what his response was.
Right.
I love this kid. Sounds like his parents are very involved in his education and he's very intelligent.
That's right.
I'm just telling you. Now, if we were like the full-throated right, we'd be like, this kid needs to run for office right now. But we, just saying, it would be.
Not old enough.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. He's gonna run right now.
He said what I like.
I like what he said. He said what I like. I don't know why. In my head, I sound like South Park doing Mickey Mouse. That's hysterical. Gosh, it's so funny. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you. You know you can sign up for the newsletter over at Substack. Lots of good stuff that goes up there or on the reg. And you can also watch us, Channel 347, DirecTV. The chat happens at Rumble as well. This Eric Adams indictment, I am not particularly zealous about him either way. I think it's, whenever Democrats act like they're cleaning house, they're not really cleaning house because they feel like someone breached their code of ethics because they don't have any. Their code of ethics consists of stepping outside of the narrative. And when you criticize your narrative masters, they come at you. And that's, I think, honestly, what's happening now. Did he make it easier by doing some of this stuff? But what is it? Maybe not, but how is it any different from what any of these other Democrats do regularly? You see what I mean? We're going to talk about that more. Stick with us. In an era where daily election headlines and political turmoil can create a sense of unrest, having a peaceful retreat is more important than ever. Cozy Earth's exceptional products can be instrumental in helping you establish a sanctuary within your own home. Their sheet set is a standout favorite of mine. You get unmatched comfort and a nice soothing touch. You can create your own sanctuary with Cozy Earth's best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose from bamboo. The softness of their sheets and the quality of their materials will truly elevate your space and turn your bedroom into a cozy haven. And if you're seeking to transform your living environment into a serene escape, Cozy Earth also offers the perfect solution to create that tranquil home that you've been longing for. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are a long-lasting investment in quality. So get the ultimate in comfort and up to 40% off at cozyearth.com/Dana and use code Dana. Don't forget to tell them that I sent you in the post-purchase survey. That's cozyearth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of the second hour. And you can watch the simulcast of the program over at Channel 347 DirecTV. You can also find us on X, on Rumble, where the discussion happens, and on Substack. Chapter and Verse is the name of my official newsletter. You can go and subscribe. Always new stuff out on the reg. Got something. I always try to send out something that's, I've been trying to make more of an effort to send something out at least once a week that's totally non-political. And we usually do like a culture post that's strictly just about stuff that I'm watching, reading, playing, listening to. And so we cover all of that. So you got new Mozart, you got new Mel Gibson, you got the South Korean Beatles. Yeah, Tulsa King, new season, new Cure album, all that listed in it. So, yeah, I know. Lots of good stuff happening, right? South Korean Beatles. Well, I'm going to get to the meat and potatoes in a minute. Because I love Japanese punk. And I like what, like, South Korea's, like, been doing a lot of experimentation with, like, you know, 50s, 60s type sounds. And it's a really interesting band. This group that I've got linked that is sending out with us. So it's really good. And I also linked to one of my favorite Japanese rockabilly artists, too. So it's weird, but it's fun. You know, you need a break. You need a, you know, palate cleanser. All right. So as we roll, got a few things. I got to tell you, like when the Eric Adams stuff hit, I'm not an Eric Adams fan, but I'm not an Eric Adams hater. I'm ambivalent. Like, truly, I am. I am ambivalent about it. He's charged with bribery and wire fraud. And I was listening to the charges on this, And he, you know, frankly, kind of, it just, I don't know, it just, he's a Democrat. I'm like, I expect Democrats to do this stuff. I mean, honestly, if I'm being real, I expect politicians in general just to be, I just think when you're in office for a certain amount of time, you're weird. Nobody, you have to be weird to be in office that long. Yeah. I hate it. I would hate it. Think about it. And I know there's some people who go with the best of intentions, right? But I think when they get there, something changes them. Like they become infected, like a virus. I don't know what it is. And it, then they just like seek out this, these accolades, and they seek it out. And it's like they get, fame can be addicting and so can praise. Praise is can be a horrible drug for us, not for the Lord, but for us humans, it can be a horrible drug. And I think some people, if they do one thing right, they get addicted to the praise, and then they constantly seek accolades, and then that turns them into like shadows of their former selves, and then they become grifters. I don't know. Maybe I'm just very, very cynical. Deservedly so. It's an earned cynicism. But I can't imagine anyone that would want to be in office for as long as some of these cats are in office for, or want to be in government for as long as some of these people are in government for. You know the amount of ring kissing and butt kissing you have to do in order to be in it that long? I can't stand to go to more than one, like, you know, the Christmas season when it comes around. I can't stand to go to more than like one or two Christmas parties a season, because I am a situational extrovert. It's one thing to be on a stage in front of tons of people or behind a mic, but when it gets to those one-on-one things, I can't hang. I'm as awkward as get out and just drains my energy. I can't. I mean, if you've ever met me in a small setting, you're going to be like, how is she? She's so weird. She is the most awkward person we've ever met. And
it's a bit much.
No, it's totally accurate. And I have no filter. And so I immediately will say things like, so I guess we're supposed to talk about the weather since I don't know you. I mean, I just, you know. What else are you going to say? It's weird. I can't stand when things are awkward. So I'm like, if it's going to be awkward, let it at least be awkward for a reason. Right? Like, let's introduce something to really feel awkward about in this setting. So I don't know how they do it. I've been to the Capitol. I've seen lawmakers and everything that they have to do. And I don't know. Something's wrong with them. I just have no, they're different. I don't think they're human. When you stay in, I think if you're in office for like 15 years, you officially cease to be human. You're an alien. You're a Martian. I don't know what's wrong, because who wants to be there for that long? And you got to be in D.C. You got to be in D.C. And D.C. can be pretty if you're a visitor for a short period of time. But when you have to live there, it's a different story, right? Totally different story. The first time I took the second time I took one of my kids to D.C. with me when I was doing one of the Sunday morning shows. And I went in Saturday night, and we get to our hotel, and it was in the nice part of D.C., you know, is there one? And I mean, there were just, when we drove around the corner to go to our hotel, and it was, you know, not far from the Capitol at all, or the White House at all. Go around the corner, and there were all these people in the street. And my kids have seen homelessness before, but it's off the chain in places like New York and DC and LA. Like, it is a whole different kind, a whole different level. Like, you think you've seen homelessness, but not until you've seen people like tent cities on the sidewalk where you couldn't even walk on the sidewalk. Like, you actually have to walk into the road because there's so many people on the sidewalk, and the cops are just like, we can't deal with it. It's too much. When we turned the corner, it was like that, like just a block away from the hotel that we were at. And I'm like, well, this is what Democrats do. This is welcome to Democrat policies in action. And it's true. There's nothing about anything that I've just said right there that's a lie. I'm not lying to my kid. It's true. But it was wild to see these policies. And I'm like, these are the people who've been here all this. He's like, they know they're here, right? And I'm like, yeah, they know they're here. He's like, but they're just right down there. And I'm like, yeah, they are. And they've been there for forever. They become immune to everything. They just stay in that bubble. It's weird. I think they're weird. I mean, I'm not trying to sound mean, but I think it is mean when you... That's why I think the voter is the term limit. I don't like term limits, because as much as I think it's weird that people are in office for that long, I don't want the government to take any other decision-making ability away from me. No, you don't get to determine how long someone stays in office. I agree with Hamilton and Adams and all of the other founders who were writing in the Federalist Papers against government imposed term limits. Those are the people on whose side I come down. And that is up to our discretion. So, you know, that's why we got to be smart about it, because we ultimately decide this. Anyway, my whole point in that is that I think Eric Adams is a product of his Democrat environment. He's a product of Democrat politics. He's a product of the Democrat Party. He is a product of New York. Are you telling me that all of these other people who have occupied, you know, his honor's office, that they've never engaged in anything? Because I don't believe it. He was just dumb enough or lackadaisical enough about hiding it that he just got caught. He just got caught. So what is it? They were saying that he didn't disclose all this stuff and that it amounted to influencing. And we don't want any influences from foreign entities. Oh, unless you're Hillary Clinton and you're working with the Kremlin and a British spy to launder stories through the press and then merge them out so that then you can take the published stories that are predicated upon debunked oppo and then secure through an unlawful process a surveillance warrant on an innocent American because he has wrong think. Okay. Yeah, or Hunter and Joe Biden, you know? I mean, come on. They're special, Kane. They're special. They're the specialists.
D different.
That is correct, sir. It's D different. But he's a product of that whole environment. And I think the reason why they're mad at him now is because of what he was saying about immigration, right? The stuff that he had said about immigration before. It does seem, you know, seems a little weird that he comes out. He'd said in 23 that that you know, it's a never ending problem, the issue that they're all dealing with the deluge of illegal immigration, that it's a never ending problem. Huh. And then immediately they started investigating him after that. So I don't know. I just feel like he had said, quote, this issue will destroy New York City. He said that in September of last year. He said that it was being destroyed by the influx of 110,000 asylum seekers. This is New York Times from the southern border. He didn't see a way to fix the issue. He said, let me tell you something, New Yorkers. Never in my life had a, and there's video of this. Never in my life have I had a problem that I did not see an ending to. I don't see an ending to this. It'll destroy New York City. The moment he says this, literally then in November, then they opened a major federal corruption investigation into his fundraising. And they're accusing him of receiving illegal donations from the Turkish government, which is tantamount to conspiring with the Turkish government. Right after he says this, audio soundbite 16. Now, this was September of 23. A month and a half after he says this, then a federal investigation is opened into him. Listen.
I have been fighting injustice my entire life. That fight has continued as your mayor. Despite our pleas, when the federal government did nothing,
immigration policies
overloaded our shelter system with no relief. I put the people of New York before party and politics.
So this was actually today. The video where he made the statement that the New York Times quoted him as saying, he was speaking at an outdoor event in September of last year. And that's when he made those claims. And then right after that, the investigation was opened. So, I mean, I think it's a bit of both. I think when you read the indictment, he was taking like one of the, for instance, when he flew, I can't remember where he's flying. He flew somewhere and he flew through Turkey and he got upgraded to business class. And that was like an $8,000 upgrade. And then another one was like a $12,000 upgrade. And then he didn't disclose it. And they're saying that should have been disclosed and it's illegal that it wasn't. And as a result, you know, it could be considered foreign influence. And then there were, when he would go and stay at different, like he stayed at the St. Regis, I think, didn't he go to Istanbul or something? He stayed in St. Regis. And that was, you know, super swanky. It's a super swanky hotel. And apparently that was comped for him. And he also got like an upgrade there and it was comped for him and all this stuff. Very, you know, expensive. And he didn't disclose it. And there's other things. I mean, it's not like, you know, he was selling access to the mayoral office, really. you know, in exchange for blood diamonds, or I don't know, stock in the Chinese company that was taking over a giant cobalt mine in the Dominican Republic, or not Dominican, the People's Democratic Republic of Congo, the way Hunter Biden did. But hey, it's different, right? Yeah. And actually, it's Hunter Biden. If you want to have a discussion of race, I think you could probably justifiably propose one there. But, you know, whatever. Just saying. So he was getting heckled when he was given his, I just don't care. I mean, it's the Democrats' problem. Let them deal with it. I just think it's funny. And I think Republicans should hammer it home that the moment that he started talking about immigration, that's when Democrats decided he was a liability. All of a sudden, they discovered that they don't like foreign influence, but they love it all the other times that it doesn't prove to be disadvantageous for them. You can't have a Democrat out there causing waves on immigration in an election cycle. That's what this is. So they're trying to fix it. They're trying to fix it by taking him out. Just saying. We got more on the way. Oh, and also we're going to talk about, you know who's eyeing that position. You know who wants to be the mayor. Don't call it a comeback. He's been here for years. Andrew Cuomo, the guy who killed all y'all grandparents in New York. We're going to talk about that coming up. Also, Biden's unveiling a new anti-gun executive order. We'll talk about all of that and more coming up as we move. No matter why you're preparing emergency survival food, it's crucial that your supplies last as long as you need them without compromising on flavor. It doesn't have to taste awful. Check out my top recommendation for the best survival food available, and that's ReadyWise Foods. Stocking up on ReadyWise emergency food means that you're set for whatever comes your way. Whether it's a natural disaster, a power outage, an unforeseen storm, having a well-prepared stash helps you tackle any challenge with assurance. Stock up with 8 servings of brown sugar maple oatmeal, 12 servings of whey milk, and 4 each of cheesy macaroni, teriyaki rice, and tortilla soup. It's perfect for groups or just a hearty solo meal. And you can enjoy real tasting meals with ReadyWise. Savor hot, comforting meals in any crisis. ReadyWise is essential gear with a 25-year shelf life, providing easy to cook, delicious meals for your survival supplies. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced items. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off. ReadyWise.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this, pull this up. This is crazy. This has to do with a bear. A dad and son were mauled to death by a massive bear as it broke into their home and it killed, this story is so horrible. It killed 35 dogs at a nearby shelter. This bear. It killed 35 dogs at a shelter a day earlier. And this was in Russia. It was a man-eating bear. And it broke in, and the 8756, it broke into their house, killed and ate them. These poor dogs and the poor people. I hope they drag this bear and make it an example of it for all the other bears out there. This is what happens. Oh my gosh. They said it killed these dogs in a matter of minutes. It is huge. There's a picture of the carcass of it. And it's like, goodness, that's horrible. Oh my gosh, they're horrible. And the dad, it killed the dad and the son. That's like elderly dude. An American Airlines plane had to turn around and land at the original airport after nine hours into the flight because of a problem with their toilets. Passengers initially were not given an explanation for the change. Someone said, new fear unlocked. Your flight to Korea may go 5 hours and come back with zero explanation. It was on its way to South Korea and it had to turn around and go back to Dallas and fix their toilet. Oh my gosh. Maybe you could have figured out that there was a problem with your toilet before you took off. Just, I don't know. I know that's crazy to suggest that. But just, you know, a new photo shows a UFO hovering over Canada, but before it was shot down by a U.S. fighter jet. Maybe it was aliens bearing gifts. I don't know. It was a cylindrical. They said it was a suspected balloon in the Great White North. I don't know. I'm just going to go ahead and I want it to be aliens because I'm really tired of being disappointed by, oh, no, it's not aliens. It's just communists again. Just We've got more on the way, including the gun control executive order and suicide pod. Stick with us. No matter why you're preparing emergency survival food, it's crucial that your supplies last as long as you need them without compromising on flavor. It doesn't have to taste awful. Check out my top recommendation for the best survival food available, and that's ReadyWise Foods. Stocking up on ReadyWise emergency food means that you're set for whatever comes your way. Whether it's a natural disaster, a power outage, an unforeseen storm, having a well-prepared stash helps you tackle any challenge with assurance. Stock up with 8 servings of brown sugar maple oatmeal, 12 servings of whey milk, and 4 each of cheesy macaroni, teriyaki rice, and tortilla soup. It's perfect for groups or just a hearty solo meal. And you can enjoy real tasting meals with ReadyWise. Savor hot, comforting meals in any crisis. ReadyWise is essential gear with a 25-year shelf life, providing easy to cook, delicious meals for your survival supplies. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced items. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off. ReadyWise.com.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can we just like do air guitar and like we're coming in with a little Metallica? We're in a very musical mood right now. Yeah. It's Thursday. We're coming in towards the end of the week. And also, we were playing on Kamala Harris's Ecclesiastics blunder. And I had an idea for a theological punk band that covers Psalms, right? And so Kane ran it through AI. And it's actually, it's not bad. Give it a, you got it up?
Yeah, it's not licensed or anything, so we can.
Yeah, we can totally play it. This is our, oh, you're playing it? Okay, go turn it up. It's the Ecclesiastics covering Psalms. Wait till it. It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's AI.
It's AI.
I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me.
Now that's actually pretty cool.
That's nice.
It's
right?
it's actually not bad, dude. It's actually not bad.
I didn't think AI could do this.
I didn't either. I really wanted to hate it. I wanted to hate it so bad. I was always prejudiced against it. I am technologically prejudiced, and so I was already prejudiced against it. And it actually is not bad. It's actually pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. That's
and apparently AI improves itself, like when you sort of edit the type of style. Like, remember we had first iterations of these songs and they were more like Irish punk sort of dropkick.
Yeah, it was like you had a bunch of people in an Irish pub who decided to set down their Guinness and then knock out a banger. That's what it, you know.
And then this
sound like that.
Then it sort of morphed into what we're hearing now, and I think there's even more generations.
It sounded almost, it got into shanty territory.
It did.
Just a wee bit.
It did. The Ecclesiastics.
I would see them. I would go to a dive bar where there's probably not doors on the stalls in the women's room. I would go there and watch that band.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could do it. We were talking about how, I mean, I play instruments. I can play rhythm guitar poorly. I can play drums. Yeah. I could, you know, knock out something crude and, you know, could like a opening act at a dive bar. I could do that. But, you know, we ran it through AI for the purpose of time. And it's actually not bad. Yeah. Not bad at all.
Yeah. I've heard worse.
I mean, and I love it even more because it's ours. Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like, that's what... I love it. Can you play it again? Will you play it again, please? I really like this song. It's the Ecclesiastics, our theological punk band.
I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Now on my son this day have I begotten me.
When they just say things like "thee" in a punkish context, it's cooler. It's actually not bad. It's not bad. It's a little bit little bit upbeat for me, but it's so good, dude. I would so see them. That's a jam, man. That's a jam. Hey, Steve.
What's up?
Does that slap?
It does sound like a sea shanty a little bit, though.
See?
Yeah, it did.
It is a little sea shanty-ish.
Although, okay. When we're talking about Ecclesiastes, no, I thought that sounded like something you majored in college, you know?
Well, I mean, yes and no. So Kamala Harris was trying... Can we play her thing real quick? It's real short. She was trying... I don't know what... She was trying to say Ecclesiastes, and she got the name of the... She got the book wrong. Listen.
You know, there's a time for patience, and there's a time for impatience. That's not in Ecclesiastics, but
yes, that's right, Ecclesiastics. She knows Kamala Harris just referenced our punk band.
Right.
That's right. So, yeah, thanks, Kamala. I actually now, I mean, it's, I'm going to actually take this to the nth degree because I'm really, I actually like it. All right, so in the spirit of punk bands, this is like the most awkward segue ever. In the spirit of punk bands, have you ever heard of a suicide pod? It's not a punk band, actually. It's a way to die, like an actual way to die. I think these things are terrifying. So the BBC, the British Broadcasting Company, has a story of how police in Switzerland made multiple arrests after a woman reportedly ended her life using a so-called suicide pod, which almost sounds like an NXS song, but that's Blonde. It's apparently the first case of its kind. Okay, so here's where it gets super weird for me. I am fascinated by this story, and here's why. When you think of suicide pod and like going to murk yourself in a pod, I just think that I'm going into this like Matrix type of environment where they have got them all lined up and you go lay and you press a button and it like squirts gas in there. So this lady, she apparently had a degenerative disease or something like that. And she had been sick for a long time. And no, I'm not in support of euthanasia. She had been sick for a long time. And I guess she wanted to go into the suicide pod. So she's 64 years old. She used it. She's an American woman. And so she goes to this place out in the woods in northern Switzerland. So instead of going into this like Matrix type environment, she's literally out into the woods. They had this pod out in the forest. And the maker of the Sarko suicide pod, they said that they wanted her to go under a canopy of trees. It's designed to allow a person inside to push a button that injects nitrogen gas into the sealed chamber, and then they fall asleep and then suffocate to death in a matter of minutes. So, and if you wanted to know if the guy who made it looks nuts, he does. The guy who invented it is, it looks nuts. So she's out, you know, in the woods in Switzerland in this space pod, and they put it out in the woods. So she gets in to the space pod or the suicide pod, and they said she pressed the button almost immediately. And it took like 5 minutes. And they said that, you know, they could see her. They could tell when she went unconscious and her muscles were twitching. And then that said the police showed up and they found a woman's body in the pod. So I got a lot of questions also now, too. Like, did they leave her there? Like, how did that work? I mean, don't you get it out? And also, I know this is how my mind works. Please don't judge me. But you know what the first thing I thought of when I saw it? There was a picture of it online. And like it's, you know, it showed it open and it showed the guy who invented it getting into it.
Tanning bed?
It does actually look like, it looks like an old tanning bed. Yes. But when you get in there, just saying, not that I support it or ever would, you have to know that it's been used before.
Ew.
Is that weird?
We're dying. So what?
Yeah, but it's weird though, right?
Yeah, I guess if you're
weird that you're going into a pod to die, but.
I think the mindset of people who are wanting to do this, they're least concerned. The concern at the bottom of their list of concerns would be that someone else died there.
Because I would be like, did someone crap their pants in here?
No.
Like, did they mess themselves in here? Like, you know, because they're like when the body goes, you lose control of those functions.
That's
right.
True.
So it's like, ooh, was it icky? Like, who had to clean that up? Did they clean it well? Because you're in the pod and you're pressing the button. Not that I would ever do this or suggest that you do this. It's horrible. But what if you notice like some gunk in it? Like, oh, they didn't get this spot, and then you're dead. That sucks. That's a horrible way to go.
I don't think people are going to be concerned with that, honestly.
That's totally what I would be. I'm like,
I'm getting in there to die. The fact that it might have a little gunk in there is probably
you're
not going to be.
You're getting into
deal.
A nasty, like, hobo pod. That's gross.
That's
yes,
what
you're getting in the
like.
Pod to murk yourself, but shouldn't it be a clean going? You know? It's so weird. I mean, I feel bad for the lady who thought she had no other choice, and they said that they put it out in the woods so she could look at the trees in the sky, or because it's easier to hose it off. I don't know. Just oh man, it's so weird. She cashed out her life savings and flew to Switzerland to do this, and I don't know. And it's weird. This whole thing is weird. And now there's like accusations towards the group. Of course, it's called The Last Resort. Who they said that they spent her money and wanted it to be. They told her she would need it after she was dead, and they said that her family saying that they took advantage of her. That's one of the accusations. But the this is just all so weird. It's just so weird. And they said that when you get in it, it has a little voice that says, quote, if you want to die, press this button. No. Yeah. Agence France-Presse got a look at it, and that's what it says. If you want to die, press this button.
Is there another button that you just last minute decided you want to live that you press?
Is the cleanliness not up to your standard? Press this button.
Is the lid locked until you decide to die, or is it?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I guess it seals you up in there.
Good Lord.
Ooh, it's just so weird. Like, you're. I don't know, but it does also sound like a punk band. Suicide pod opening for the Ecclesiastics. One disapproves of the other. I don't know. Steve says it looks like a bad Transformer. Emphasis on trans.
What?
It does look like a bad, like, 70s Transformer. You know, it looks like a pager, a giant pager that's out in the woods. Right?
A giant flip phone.
Be careful, because if it's from Taiwan and the Israeli company out there, it could blow up. Just saying. I am fascinated by this thing. But that's what it says to you, like when you get in, like, press this button if you want to die. It's a 3D printed capsule. And you get in it and you press the button and that's it. That's horrible. That's just so bad. I mean, and this woman was 60. She's young. You're telling me she couldn't get any other, you know? I don't know. It's just, the whole thing is weird to me. But they're trying to call it the Tesla of euthanasia. What a disregard for life.
Right.
This is like mass-produced life-ending. That's horrible. And it's out of Switzerland. Can I also say, you know, and I love the Swiss, but man, those are some pretty weird Nordic ideas up there. Let's just create a pod that'll murk you like that in minutes, and then they'll have a whole line of them up. It's weird. Although, like, some of the best horror movies come from up there. Just saying.
I was reading too, like, they don't say how they dispose of the body, do they?
No.
So
does it, like,
open the lid and hope for wolves? Like, what do they?
They open the lid and they do hope for wolves. Okay, no. I mean, I don't know if all of them are like out in nature, but I'm a little curious. Because it looks like it could lean up and just loop, dump you out. Oh, what if it does that? What if it like trebuchets your dead body out of the pod? Well, look, if you're murking yourself in a pod, let's just drop all pretense of, you know, taste here. You're murking yourself in a pod. Nobody should be offended if I'm like, does it trebuchet your dead carcass out of it? I mean, it's all horrible.
Would it surprise you to find out there are people lined up to do this? That there is a line
that makes me sad that there are people that are lined up to do this.
There's a waiting list.
Are you serious?
120 people, apparently. There are some 120 applicants hoping to use the machine to end their lives, according to The Last Resort.
That's so sad to me. I feel like the guy who's doing this, who created this whole thing, is, I just think that it's exploitative and you're preying upon people at like a horrible time in their lives. And then I it makes me feel sad that these people don't have a support network. I mean, the pod is ludicrous, but it, you know, it doesn't distract from just the sadness that I feel for people who feel like they got to do this. It's just, oh, goodness. Why does the guy who they call Dr. Death, he's this Australian euthanasia advocate, why do these people always look like freaks? They always look like freaks, do they not?
Wasn't it Kevorkian for us in Michigan? Yeah. Michigan, I think, or something?
They always look like you know they are the villains. You immediately know, oh, that's the bad guy, because he looks like the bad guy. He's a, just, they just, you know, they got a look. All right, we got more on the way. Sweet. So weird segment.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Can I do, man, if I would have come into any with into this with beside the Florida Man thing with any song, I think it'd be Jukebox Hero, maybe. Did you guys hear about this? So these dudes got into a fight over the jukebox, what was playing on a jukebox. And this dude ended up getting shot. So a Florida man was shot dead after he got into a dispute over a jukebox song, and it was at a Mexican restaurant. And I love how they're like, it turned violent. It was in Fort Lauderdale early Monday morning. It was an argument over a jukebox song, and the dispute began at this restaurant when one man began commenting on another person's music selection, according to authorities. Said Mauro Bonilla, he said to WSVN-TV, quote, I heard there was two guys and they got into an argument. Because boy, he sounds like he's from Jersey. Because one of them played a song on the jukebox and the other guy was kind of ticked off. And he goes, the guy who got insulted pulled his weapon and started shooting the other guy. They actually wrote it phonetically as he said it. So the guy drew his weapon first. So one of them played a song on the machine and the other guy was mad and said, you're not a real Mexican if you play that burp music, is what he said. Which then made me stop and go, well, what is not real Mexican then? Like if he played, what did he play that he got accused of not being a real Mexican?
Brooks.
Yeah, like Kane, you're white adjacent, so.
It's true.
You know, like what would somebody play in a Mexican restaurant that would make you go, you're not a real Mexican? How does that work?
I don't know. Anything but Despacito, I think.
Anything but. Don't have Joe Biden go there. Anyway, the guy who was shot and killed was a 54-year-old. The other guy was taken into custody. And man, they had just out of all the stories, a Florida man wearing an ankle monitor tried attempts at kidnapping in a Walmart parking lot, spotted when legs were flailing out the truck, according to the affidavit. The Juan Marcos Perez, he tried to kidnap a woman in Orlando and he had an ankle monitor on. And it was 4:30 p.m. Monday, and he tried to put her in the trunk of the car, and he was threatening to kill her. And witnesses said that she turned and looked as the victim's legs were flailing out of the trunk. They did get him. They saved the woman, and they got her. He's going to court now, obviously. He's in prison. Third hour on the way. Stay with us. Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Dana Lash here with you at the top of our third hour this broadcast Thursday. And there is a new executive order out, a new executive order that targets machine guns and 3D printed firearms, unserialized firearms, all which are already regulated by the federal government. Now, this was announced just a little bit ago. These executive orders, it was announced Monday, I think, that they were going to put forward more executive orders on guns. And so you kind of knew, we really didn't have an idea as to what they were going into, but it looks like, they're looking at, they have the, and I'm going to write up about this more over at Substack Chapter and Verse, my newsletter, because it gets into a couple of things specifically. It gets into drills. Like, for instance, they said that he's going to have the Surgeon General and the Secretaries of Education and Health and Human Services to develop and publish guidance for schools on how to conduct shooting drills and minimize, you know, what they said, I mean, they're going to do these, they're going to do drills and minimize unnecessary trauma, which that's not, I mean, this is not an issue that I have with people. I hope they bring in like professionals to do these if they're going to do something like this, because I don't have a lot of faith in some of these institutions to discern what is a threat and what isn't a threat. And I have a story that highlights that coming up. I mean, we had tornado drills, and that doesn't, you just sit there like, what, I mean, what do you mean? What kind of drills? I just feel like that's not the right way to go. I mean, fine, do whatever you have to do. I mean, have drills, have the locking doors, whatever. But when you're not actually looking at the problem and ignoring it, like for instance, Parkland can do a million different drills all they want to. But the problem was that there was clearly a threat. All law enforcement knew it. The superintendent of the schools knew it. The teachers knew it. Back when it happened, I talked to a teacher off the record who did not want her identity disclosed. And she was not the only teacher I spoke with at Parkland either, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. I talked to several educators, and I talked to some people who work in administration. They all knew who this kid was. Even though it's a larger system, that killer was so bad, and he was so violent leading up to what happened. They all knew who he was. He had to have a minder that went to school with him, and he had been in trouble. Law enforcement, they were bragging about reducing the school to prison pipeline. And much in the same way that they're trying to pretend that the crime rate has gone down, it's not that the crime rate has gone down, and it's not that they actually reduced students getting in trouble with the law. It's just that they literally stopped reporting it. And that killer in Parkland was one of the people whose crimes they just stopped reporting. And I'm not talking about little misdemeanor stuff. I mean, there was like serious, like felonious activity happening. I mean, this killer previously already held a gun to a student's head. He had knocked his own mother's teeth out of her mouth. He was already threatening to kill students. He had been doing it. This was like months and months leading up to this tragedy. They had police go out to his house dozens of times. And he had this murderer's own family was calling law enforcement. Robert Runcie knew about it. That bad cop sheriff knew about it as well. But see, they were trying to put on this front, well, we have to make it look like we're actually having an impact in reducing calls to law enforcement on, you know, from student body and all this. And Robert Runcie got an award from Arne Duncan, who was at the time the head of Department of Education under Barack Obama. They gave Robert Runcie this big award because he had at least visibly reduced the school to prison pipeline, the number of criminal actions reported to law enforcement. And it wasn't because they had rehabilitated the behavior of the student body. It was because they stopped reporting it. That's not me saying it. It's parents there saying it. It's the teacher saying it. And it's the official conclusion of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Commission that put that in a report. You can do drills all you want to. When you are not accurately assessing and doing something to mitigate threats, I mean, drills, when you're leaving your doors unlocked and doing all this other stuff and then not doing anything about this killer who actually could have been adjudicated unfit, so he could have never have gotten a firearm, and he probably could have been committed too. But nobody, law enforcement didn't do anything, and the FBI was aware. I mean, that's how bad it was. So that's, I don't know. They don't do anything to address that. There's nothing in here that I've glanced at it so far. I haven't read all of it all the way, but I've been glancing and I haven't seen anything yet that addresses it beyond they want to talk about drills, right? Okay. I mean, doesn't doing a drill by itself kind of create trauma? Because they said, oh, we want to minimize unnecessary trauma. Well, doing a drill when you won't do anything else to protect students, does that, I mean, that just seems like you're introducing trauma. And then you're also trying to convince them that something that is statistically super rare is an inevitable reality. And that is also traumatic. You're conditioning them to think that. And it's, You know, one mass casualty incident as a school is one too many, but these are rare occurrences. And it seems like you're trying to condition kids into thinking that it is an inevitable occurrence when it is a rare thing. Then they look at machine conversion devices. By the way, the whole report that they're doing, because they have their task force that's looking at machine guns and the conversion devices, whatever, that report is not even going to be submitted until post-election. Like, you're like 3 months after the election is when that report's not even due. And the ability to put a switch on, put a switch on a gun and make it full auto is already regulated. It's illegal. It's already regulated. So I don't know how you make that illegaler with their, it feels like they're blaming Glock. They hate Glock. Glock is an Austrian company. They don't like Glock. And I feel like they want them to maybe change how they make their firearms so that, I don't know. It's what it feels like. It feels like they're just weird. I mean, if their argument is going to be that, well, anything can be converted, and because anything could be converted, then we'll just ban all the things. It seems like a move in that direction. It really does. But then, I mean, if the argument is, well, anything can be a machine gun, then we'll ban all of it. That also is a very interesting argument as it relates to law enforcement too, but that's a whole other discussion. So this is, I don't know, it looks kind of nonsensical. They are talking about the address the emerging threat of firearm without serial numbers, also referred to as ghost guns. Well, you can't sell firearms without there being a serial number on it. That's also regulated, number one. Number two, there's not evidence to support that this idea of unserialized, or what they're trying to say is privately made by hobbyists, but they don't want to get into the weeds on that. They want you to think that there's an epidemic of unserialized guns, which actually was a manufacturing thing that, again, the government exploited and turned into a tracking system. But they want to make it, seem like it's an epidemic and that something has to be done, when it's actually, again, that's not what drives the crime. That's not what felons, when they've been surveyed by the DOJ twice now under Barack Obama, that's not where they're getting their stuff. They said that they want to focus the ATF's resources on identifying developments in illicit firearm marketplaces, including the use of new technologies. What are you talking about? To make an undetectable firearms, that all of this other. At some point, they're probably going to ban 3D printing machines. I'm just waiting for that to happen. But they have the machine gun conversion devices, the 3D printed firearms. They want to go after 3D printed firearms. They say that they can be used for illegal purposes like gun trafficking, etc. People aren't out there fabricating their own guns, though. There's no evidence to support that accusation. There isn't. And furthermore, I mean, when you're talking about 3D printed guns, you have to have good quality material. That's a big conversation that, look, gangbangers are not having, they're not getting 3D printers and printing the stuff off in their garages. That's just entirely wholly unsupported by the evidence. People can say otherwise, but the evidence doesn't support that. It sounds like they want to go after 3D printing, though. Interesting. So they're just using this as a political football in an election season. That's what it is. It's just a political football in an election season. But you can't underestimate that and think that nothing will come of it, or that it won't be used, won't be further used by the left, because they always throw a bunch of stuff out there and then they'll stake the claim on one. So they always try to gain some kind of ground, no matter what. So that's the latest, that EO from the Biden administration. By the way, we were talking about the suicide pod a little bit earlier, and Lorraine said that the pod detect, because you apparently, we're trying to figure out what you do. Is it use? Like, how do you get out of it? Like, does it just, like, you know, fling your body
into the water?
Like a Highland fling? Does it just, like, throw it into the atmosphere? Like, what happens? She says it detaches and it's used as your coffin. And then they 3D print another one for the next person.
So that quells your fears of gunk being in there. Somebody else.
Well, I think they're horrible. Feces. But I'm just like, yeah, like, did they clean it up? Because it's nasty. Like, people, you lose control of your stuff.
You also brought up a great question. So they don't embalm them?
Well, that's what I asked. I'm like, do they embalm the people in there? They're just like, okay, it's done. Because you're, then you're in there and you're like all juicy still. So, oh,
come on.
But still, that, you know, for real, like what? Ew.
Juicy?
Yeah. It turns into like a Cadbury, a gross Cadbury egg.
The adjective you chose.
Well, I'm just
good
trying to.
Lord.
It's sad, and I feel sad for the people who feel like there's no other option. But do you realize how ludicrous this thing is? You go into a giant space egg that murks you.
It is.
It's like Mork from Ork, only written reverse.
And it's such an anticlimactic way to go. Get into your egg. Okay, bye now. Then they'll bury you in it. That's, I don't know. Ugh, I know it's a very macabre thing. It's spooky season, so I don't know. Just the whole thing is odd. So the other thing we were discussing is this Eric Adams. They said he's taken, what was the, look at this, what was the number? That he took over $100,000 in bribes. I made the point that he's almost taken as much as the Bidens and the Clintons.
Almost.
He's almost taken. I mean, it's not anywhere near what they've taken, but you know. He's almost there. He's almost there. And I don't know. It's sad that we just assume that, okay, well, this is Democrats. This is what they do. This is how they operate. This is, you know, it's sad that it is so customary with either Bob Menendez, now you got Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and the Clintons and Eric Adams. Andrew Cuomo, though, thinks that he's got a shot. He thinks he's got a shot. Andrew Cuomo is eyeing this up one side and down the other. He's looking. He thinks that he actually may be able to get in there and become mayor. He's eyeing a comeback. Axios has the story how he's already floating it out there to folks that he's preparing to run for mayor. You remember disgraced former New York governor Andrew Cuomo, who killed all y'all's grandparents in New York. There, he wants to go from a disgraced governor. The only reason that he was actually forced to resign was because of a sexual harassment scandal, not because he killed everybody's grandparents. So now he's considering a comeback. We're going to talk about this coming up.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So wealthy Gen Zers are leaving California, according to a new study. They're leaving. They're defined as people who run households under the age of 26 if they bring in more than $200,000 a year. So they're classified as high earners by the IRS because of their age and income. And they said that wealthy Gen Zers are leaving, and they're leaving West Coast entirely. A lot of them are going to, in fact, this is their, where are they going to? Where's New York? Which blows my mind. Why are they going to New York? Florida, Tennessee, Colorado, and Texas. Those are the top five. I think they go to New York because maybe if they want to live in the city, you know, if they're young, they don't have kids, maybe they think that's where to go. How weird is that, though? Those states saw the biggest influx of top earning Gen Z households. New York is number. That's so weird to me, but it is what it is. Just saying, you know. Also, a couple other. Of course, it's not going to pull up. It may not pull up. Let's see here. You have to forgive me because I had everything freeze again, and I'm not able to pull anything up. So what do I have on there? Throw it up. There it is. Oh, this is like what was the movie with Keanu Reeves? Speed, wasn't it? This is they chase this hijacked bus. And this is literally Speed with Keanu Reeves. They chase a hijacked bus in Los Angeles, and it had hostages on board. The Los Angeles County Metropolitan Transportation Authority, they had hostages on board, according to them. There was a shooting victim on board as well, according to KTLA. Then they surrounded it yesterday in downtown Los Angeles, and they were able to get people out. And they don't really say anything about the perp, only that they were able to take them into custody, and that's kind of it. We have more of the show coming up. Don't go anywhere. Stick with us.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Expanding that child tax credit, or you mentioned housing before, giving that extra money for a first home. If you can't raise corporate taxes, or if GOP takes control of the Senate, Where do you get the money to do that? Do you still go forward with those plans and borrow?
Well, but we're going to have to raise corporate taxes, and we're going to have to raise, we're going to have to make sure that the biggest corporations and billionaires pay their fair share. That's just it. It's about paying their fair share. I am not mad at anyone for achieving success, but everyone should pay their fair share. And it is not right that the teachers and the firefighters that I meet every day across our country are paying a higher tax.
They're not.
Than the richest people in our country.
Bill Gates really just said it this week. If he was in charge of taxes, he would have paid more. But how do you find that line to make sure corporations are paying their fair share, but they're not leaving our country?
Well, listen, I work with a lot of CEOs. I have spent a lot of time with CEOs. And I'm going to tell you that the business leaders who are actually part of the engine of America's economy agree that people should pay their fair share. They also agree that when we look at a plan such as mine that is about investing in the middle class, investing in new industries, investing in bringing down costs, invest in entrepreneurs like small businesses, that the overall economy is stronger and everyone benefits.
That is, first off, she knows nothing. That was Kamala Harris's interview with Stephanie Ruhle, who, what in the Wednesday Adams hell, and I say this as a goth kid, was she wearing? That's not an appropriate outfit for that. And also, why the red shoes with it? That's just not, no. But that aside, did you watch her expression, Harris's expression when she's talking? Because she doesn't know what she's saying. She has no idea how to answer this question because she doesn't know anything about the economy. So she's like, well, pay their fair share. Her brain went there because she defaulted to it because it was her highest level of knowledge on it. Just pay their fair share. You know, if they pay their share, which is fair, if they share fairly, you know, what they get with their pay their fair share, share their fair pair. Pair their share, Faye. It's like, she's like Moira Rose. If you love fruit wine as much as I do, you'll love Irv Berflinger's wine. Berf Harflinger. That's a, if you just pay your fair share, share fair pair hair. That's all you gotta do, pay your fair hair. That's, pay your fair hair. That's what we're. There's a wise rabbit in a top hat. I don't even know, man. Where's it happen? Where's it going? I don't know. That's so stupid. It's based on a myth. It's because we've all... So first off, number one, I don't understand, though, when you look at the most recent data that is available, and I got tons of notes on this, it's pretty stunning when you see who actually does pay the fair share. In 2021, the top 1%, they earned 26% of income, but they paid like over 47% of all the federal income taxes. That's just the very, very top 1%. Huh. Is that the fair share? They paid more than the bottom 95% combined. Huh. So what's, how do you, so you're saying that they have to pay more to make it fairer?
Wait, are you saying the rich, the top 1%? Yeah.
The top 1%.
They're paying 95% of the tax burden?
Yes. Well, no, I'm saying they're paying more than the bottom 95%
right,
combined.
I mean, that's what I mean. So
they've earned 26% of the income, but they're paying like 47% of all federal income taxes.
So it sounds like we need numbers from them. They need to be specific as to what it looks like.
So if they pay more, is that fairer? If you give up half your income in taxes, is that more than half of your income to make it fairer while nobody, the other people don't pay as much? I mean, these are actual IRS, you know, what the hell do they mean? The fair share thing. People have no idea what this is.
What I also hate is they conflate the two different numbers. Like they'll say a dollar amount or they'll say a percentage. Like, so if the rich are only paying 8% or they're not paying, let's just say they're only paying 2%, and these firefighters and nurses and the people they like to bring up that are paying, say, 20
but
or
listen,
20.
Because you got the top 1%. You're going to get really mad, Kame. Do you want the top 10? Top 10, because we went with the top 1%.
All right, so the top 10%.
Maybe they don't pay. Maybe if you put more people in there, they pay less.
So these are the richest 10% of America.
Okay, so you have The top 1% remember they pay, it's like 47%. The top 50% paid 97% of all federal taxes, Kane. That's probably what you're thinking about, the 90-something percent.
Yes.
It's the top 50% that paid, actually it's almost 98%. It's approximately 97.7%. The bottom 50% paid
2.3.
Yes. Yes.
So the narrative's a lie.
Oh, my gosh. It's completely, totally a lie. I mean, 1,000% a lie. And looking at this, you have the top 1%. You have the... I'm trying to find my notes on... There's a lot there. You have the top 10%. The tax rate of the top 10% was like, what, 22%? And they ended up... I mean, they end up paying 75% of total income taxes paid. So the top 10%... Actually, it's 76%. Sorry, it's 75.8, so round up. So the top 10% pay 76% of all of the total income taxes. Are you okay? I think Kane literally just had a stroke. Are you okay over there? Seriously, are you breathing?
I was looking it up too, and I saw what Carol Roth posted this morning. And according to this, and this is just a screenshot of her Googling it.
Yeah.
59.9%, so 60% of U.S. households paid income tax in 2022. The remaining 40%
paid nothing.
Paid no taxes at all.
They paid nothing. That is correct. That is correct.
Oh.
And by the way, all of the stuff that the figures that I'm citing, I'll give you the website. It's irs.gov/statistics/SOI tax stats, individual statistical tables by tax rate and income percentile. So it's from the government. But wait, there's more. The bottom 50%, 2.3% is what they paid. Their tax rate was about 3.3%. Top 50% average tax rate, 16%. Top 25, 18%. Top 10, 22%. Top 5, 23%. Top 1, 26%.
And I also feel like people don't know what payroll taxes
are
and what they mean and how it's double dipped every time the company has to write a paycheck.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So the idea of fair share is that's for her to say this is economically ignorant and it's embarrassing. But she has this is all she's made of. Wait, this is, audio soundbite 14. Stephanie Rule was like, telling her, you're not actually giving me straight answers on any of this stuff. Listen.
Work, and one could watch that and say, well, she didn't give a clear, direct answer. That's okay, because we are not talking about clear or direct issues.
It's okay to not have clear answers, because we don't know what the hell we're talking about. I mean, what in the nonsense is that? That's crazy. That is so embarrassing, you guys. Audio soundbite 6. This is, she's talking about her plan here, guys. Dreams and ambitions.
Madam Vice President, you just laid out your economic vision for the future.
Yeah.
But still, there are lots of Americans who don't see themselves in your plans. For those who say these policies aren't for me, what do you say to them?
Well, if you are hardworking, if you have the dreams and the ambitions and the aspirations of what I believe you do, you're in my plan. You know, I have to tell you, I really love and am so energized by what I know to be the spirit and character of the American people.
So
we have ambition.
Live, laugh, love campaign.
We have aspirations. We have dreams.
She, again, drunk Hallmark. That's what it sounds like. It just doesn't. She called. What did she say? The buzzword that she used. Oh, she was trying to say that she said holistic 3 times in a 15-second period.
And inspiring.
She said, looking holistically at the connection between that and housing, and looking holistically at the incentives we in the federal government can create for local and state governments to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner that includes prioritizing affordable housing. Hey, Kane, you like that holistic hippie stuff. How many times do you say holistic a day?
None.
How many times do you listeners out there and viewers say holistic a day? I literally never say it. I never, ever say it.
I can't. I mean, I've said it to describe what other people have said.
What is holistically at the incent? Isn't getting the federal government involved like literally the opposite of holistic? It's that's so stupid. I just can't. I don't know. I don't think she understands what she says. She talks in like Venn diagram word salad. That's all it is. That's all it is. This should terrify you. She has no idea how to, she has no idea what to implement. She has no policies, economic policies, because she doesn't know how the economy works. She has never worked in, she doesn't work in the private sector. She doesn't work in businesses. She doesn't know how to do that. I wanted to get to this story really quickly. I wrote about this over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. You got this last night if you're a subscriber. In Mountain View, Missouri, Liberty Middle School suspended 13-year-old Riley Grundon because he made a gun out of Dr. Pepper cans. Like, he didn't fashion like a fireable gun out of Dr. Pepper cans. He laid actual Dr. Pepper cans on his bed in the shape of what looks like a lowercase K, but it's in the shape of a rifle. And so his school suspended him, and they gave him two marks on his permanent record, one for cyberbullying and another for making a school threat, even though he never made any threats ever to anybody, anything, anyone ever. And no bullying took place. This is what the school said. Quote, we have enough information to believe the video has caused fear for one student. So they, I was looking back at this. I don't think the mom, because we talked about this yesterday. I don't think the mom is taking legal action, but I think like she should. Think about this. The anti-gun brigade has spent the last decade shaking kids down over Nerf guns. Remember that? Nerf guns. They went after a kid. He got kicked out of school because he had a Nerf gun. There was in New Jersey, Amazon, you can't get Nerf guns. They like banned all these toy guns. They have scared kids over finger guns. You remember the 10-year-old who was suspended because he was playing outside? They were literally like playing cops and robbers. He was a fifth grader and he made a finger gun and he got suspended from school. I mean, I have so many examples of kids literally getting suspended from school for finger guns. It's crazy. Or what about the kid who ate his Pop-Tart at school in the shape of a gun and he got in trouble? This was in Maryland. A 7-year-old ate his Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun and got in trouble. It was at Park Elementary School. They suspended him for 2 days. This is, and this is what I touched on when we were discussing the executive orders on gun control, and they were talking about doing shooter drills. These school, like Liberty Middle School, has zero proper threat assessment capabilities. That's appalling. They teach kids to fear non-threatening situations, but then they shame them for like listening to instinctual fear over actual threatening situations. Like the girl in Virginia who walked into the girl's bathroom, and because a boy who played, pretended to be a girl, was allowed in there per school trans policies, he was able to attack the girl and brutally rape her in the school's bathroom. So when you have Liberty Middle School that clearly can't differentiate between a real and not real threat, it makes me concerned about their ability or lack thereof to properly handle anything, including actual threats. Like, why didn't they reach out to this kid's mom to assess the potential threat level before they suspended her kid? Or like, why didn't the school tell the student that cans can't hurt you? Or why didn't the school reiterate that while one of these incidents is too many, they're very rare and preventable? Because if anybody was bullied here, I think it's this kid, Riley Grundon. They're making everybody afraid over everything. When you make everybody afraid over everything, there's security for no one. I don't know. I maybe when you consider that context, maybe it's understandable that there was a kid who felt fear over a Dr. Pepper can. I mean, we tell kids not to eat Tide Pods. Apparently, some have to be told. Maybe their parents should be told, too, at this point. But I really don't think that the fear in this is genuine. I think, honestly, it's just politically motivated and they're masking it as fear, which I think is so heinous. And I don't know, they're punishing this innocent kid and I feel bad for him. But man, I really do think the mom should, you know, kind of honestly, kind of look at her options here, because this is going to go on his record. That's going to follow him like all throughout school. He's going to have a record and they're going to look at him as a troublesome kid.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the point at Chuck E. Cheese where a super excitable staff member would bring me out like a piece, like some birthday pizza and cake and all that. And then the, what is it, the jam band that they had at the Chuck E. Cheese would start playing. This was before Five Nights at Freddy's confirmed that, yes, you were right as a child to have an instinctual fear of these animatronic animals because they're filled with demons. I guess you didn't know that, did you? It's not my birthday today. It's my birthday officially Saturday, but I'm off air tomorrow. Thank you for playing the track. That's the only surprise that I'll allow. Right. I hate surprises. I hate them, but this one's nice. Very nice.
29 this year?
Yes, it's correct. Correct. I will not be having any mummy neck cheese. I'm saving this headline for you for Monday, but cheese dating back almost 4,000 years was found in a Chinese tomb and a necklace on this Chinese mummy's neck. I just think that she looks like somebody would shop at Anthropology. Right. She's like in a sock hat and she's got like Pelosi legs and, you know, if you wanted to headline it like Zoomer style, it would be like dead mummy with her neck cheese, dead mummy with her neck cheese. Anyway,
it reminds me of what Jamiroquai fans would look like almost 4,000 years ago.
Oh, I feel that. It's weird. All right, Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, well, and this is cut 10. Now, keep in mind, this is our president of the United States, at least as far as we know, he is still. But he was in New York, and this is how he greeted this crowd in New York. Listen to this.
Thank you. Welcome to Washington.
Oh, swing and a miss.
Yeah.
Swing and a miss.
Yep.
They're not in Washington.
That's it, folks. That's it for us today. I am off tomorrow, but I will be back behind the mic with you on Monday. Make sure you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Have a great weekend.